Scripture reading today, John 10, 11 through 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me. I know the Father. I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life down, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But the others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
I got a sermon illustration this morning. So I go out to my car and I look over at Sherry's car. Every window is open, including the sunroof. And it's like, how can that be? So when you see windows open, you got a couple thoughts that come to mind. One is you think somebody broke in, but nothing's broken. And nothing seems to be tampered with. So then you're thinking, ah, it was trick or treat last night. But how do they get the windows down in a car that you got to have the key fob in order to turn the car on? And so I'm on the way here and I'm thinking about it. And I stop and I fill up my gas tank. And while I'm doing that, because that van out there, when you fill up the gas tank, you're there a while. And so I Google it. And I found out that on this key fob, if you press unlock twice and hold it in, then it will open up everything. So it was either the possibility that it was in my pocket that something pressed against it, or it was in Sherry's purse that something pressed against it, which is highly likely, because you can't even fit anything else into that thing. But anyhow, we figured out what it was, and I called her and told her, and so we were much more at peace about that. But I thought about, you know, this thing of the sheep pen and how Jesus had made the point that there's only one way of entering into that sheep pen, and it's through the door. And if somebody was coming in a different direction, if they found other ways to come into the sheep pen, then we'd say, something's wrong here. You don't belong in here. Oh, another funny piece about this, my neighbor directly across the street has a camera outside, and it used to be pointing down on his driveway. His baby is right over by the window and pulled on the cord, and it was facing my house. And I said, hey, why is that facing my house? He looks up and goes, oh, I guess my baby pulled on the cord. So I looked, and it was still that way, and I thought, I've got to find out who's messing around with my car. Of course, nobody would have been. But anyhow, so we think of this sheep pen, and we talked about this last week, just to give a little recap, that the sheep pen was where shepherds would bring their sheep. Different groups of sheep would come. None of them had brands on them. None of them had pierced ears with some label to tell who they belonged to. But they would know who they belonged to, because when the shepherd spoke, their head would just kind of bop up. And then they would hear their name. This is a picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And get this, isn't this fascinating? Jesus knows who you are. In this massive world and all the people that are his sheep, that have been his sheep centuries ago, he knows our name. And he calls his sheep. And those that are his sheep will hear his voice. And they will follow. Now, Jesus gives three characters that we see here in this scripture. There is the shepherd, there's the hireling, and the wolf. Now, he says that he is the good shepherd. Now, there were a lot of shepherds in that day. He wasn't saying that those that work as shepherds are bad. He was talking about something spiritual here, because these Pharisees, these gatekeepers of the law, so they thought, they were saying, he's crazy. He's got a demon. He's mad. And they were trying to shepherd the Jewish people away from Jesus, not recognizing that he was indeed the Son of God. And so he says, bad shepherds, good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And then he's qualified to be the good shepherd because what does he do? He says, I lay my life down for the sheep. Now, I'm not sure that those listening understood exactly what he meant, because Jesus had said he was the door. And we talked about that sheep pen. When the sheep would be brought there, it could be a physical gate that was there, or it could be the shepherd that was basically on duty who would lie there across and be the door of entry. And Jesus says, I am the door. So I lay down my life for the sheep. I raise it up again. That's not what he was talking about, but that might have been what they thought he was talking about. That they might have thought that he was talking about, he's like the door of the sheep. He's like the shepherd that lies on the ground protecting sheep. Nothing goes in or nothing comes out without getting by him. But he was talking about so much more. He is the good shepherd because he will lay his life down for the sheep. That is, he will die for the sheep. But he will raise it up again, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. They didn't understand what he meant with that either. But we know what he meant when he rose from the grave. So he talks about he is the good shepherd. So there were a lot of good shepherds. There were a lot of people who did the work of shepherds who were good because they would protect the sheep. They would feed the sheep. They would make sure that the sheep had what they needed. So let's look at these three different characteristics. First of all, the shepherd feeds the sheep good stuff, doesn't just go get stuff that would be bad for their health. He wants to take care of the sheep. And in that context, I think of shepherds in the church, and I think of my responsibility. Did you know that pastor actually means shepherd? And so as I feed the congregation, where does it come from? It comes from God's word. It doesn't come from anything that man has written. Oh, you know, there may be stories, there may be something that elaborates, but it's from God's word that has to be the place where it comes from. Otherwise, it's not food, it's just fodder. And so the shepherd needs to feed the sheep, and I need to feed the congregation, the word of God. But there's an old story of this farmer who went through a snowstorm to get to the church, a little church. The preacher was there, and he was there, and nobody else was there. So anyhow, the preacher decides he's going to just preach like he normally would. And he gets up there, and he is pointing, and he is stomping, and he is shouting. And when he got done, he says to the old farmer on the way out, well, how did I do? He said, well, preacher, you did okay. But if I only had one cow show up at feeding time, I wouldn't give him the whole load. The shepherd in the pulpit can't feed you for the week. So it's also important for me to teach and encourage you to be students of the word yourself. Because it's like my kids, as I said, you know, that they always knew where to go to the cupboard. I bet yours did too. They knew how to feed themselves if they needed a little snack. And the word of God is our necessary food. So the shepherd feeds the sheep, but the shepherd also protects the sheep. There can be predators that would come. And had a guy that actually came on a Wednesday night at the church in Mount Juliet. And I mean, this is a long time ago. All of my preaching stories were a long time ago. But anyhow, he came, was sitting there on the pew, went out, introduced myself before our Bible study started. And he just sort of had a chip on his shoulder. But, you know, I didn't pick up really what was going on. But I introduced myself and welcomed him there. So I got up and I taught. Then after I was done, I walked back there and greeted him. And he said, "The Bible says that you're baptized in the name of Jesus only." I said, "Well, if you're referring to Acts 2:38, where Peter says, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" He said that, Peter said that. But I said, "But I got a question for you." I said, "It was Jesus himself who said, 'Go into the world and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" And I said, "So it seems to me they're saying the same thing, because Jesus and the Father and the Spirit are one." The guy looked at me, he just said, "You're a liar." Now, in my very diplomatic way, in my spirit of calmness and gentleness, I said, "You know where the door is. Go." Maybe I wasn't as gentle as I could have been, but you're not going to come into my church and attack me or my sheep. No. Have the decency to sit there and say, "Well, he said something I disagreed with," and go on your way. So, no, it's not going to happen. The shepherd protects. The shepherd leads. Notice that the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. Oh, there's a lot of that that's being called shepherding and church leadership today, where somebody is driving, trying to drive the sheep, guilt them, manipulate them, badger them to get them to do something. Yeah. Look what the good shepherd did. He spoke their name. They followed. You may think you're a leader, but if nobody's following, you're just going for a walk. The sheep followed the shepherd. Now, I think another thing, the shepherd has the well-being of the sheep in mind. The hireling is the next character. The hireling is just there for a check. Now, I'm okay with getting a check. Just want you all to know. You know, that's a good thing. I do my work with hospice. I find it fulfilling, but I still like getting a check. But here's the point. Sometimes people who are hirelings, the only reason they're there at a place is because they get a check. You know, I remember hearing a preacher in a chapel service saying that I work from 8 to 5, just like my church members do, and I tell them not to call me unless it's an emergency after 5 o'clock. And I thought, that didn't sit well with me. I mean, first of all, if you are working 8 to 5 and I'm working 8 to 5, you can't call me between 8 and 5 most of the time. And so it's like the idea that, well, no, I mean, I've always approached it that my church members were my friends, and my friends can call me whenever they need to call me. But the hireling, all these restrictions. Now, Jesus says here of the hireling, when trouble comes, they run. Then he talks about the wolf. Now, the wolf comes to attack the sheep, and the shepherd will protect the sheep. The hireling will say, oh, I got to get away from here. And then the sheep are left vulnerable. Scripture also talks about there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And sometimes the wolves have not been from the outside. They've been somebody on the inside. Sometimes they've been pastors. But a true shepherd will not tear up the church. A true shepherd will seek to build up the church. Now, Jesus continues here, and he's talking about there are other sheep, not in this fold. See, he was referring to the Jews. They were in this fold, this sheep pen, where there were those who were hearing his voice and following him. There were others that weren't. But he says, I have other sheep, and they will hear my voice. That's us, folks. That's the non-Jew, the Gentiles, the others that will come. But then he says, then there will be one fold and one shepherd, referring to himself. One body. See, it would no longer be Jew or Greek. It would no longer be bond or free. None of the things that separate, but the thing that unites. You know, I think the problem that's going on in our culture today is that we're focusing on all the things that separate instead of the one thing that unites.
Amen.
And that is Jesus Christ. See, we can't find our way to solve all of these things by focusing on all of these things. We've got to point everybody back to the Good Shepherd. Are you one of his sheep? Are you in that fold? You say, well, I don't know if I've heard him call my name. Listen, he's calling. It's like the song that says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's saying, come. But will you hear? Do you listen for his voice? He wants you to come to him. And when you do, you will have such assurance and such blessing by knowing that he is your Savior, he's your protector, and he'll always be with you. If you don't know him, you can know him. You can surrender to him today. And we're always glad to talk to you about that and lead you every step of the way. Would you join me in singing our hymn of invitation? It's Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And what blessed assurance we can have.